y'all. Give it up for these ladies. Come on. Oh, y'all can do better than that. I was wondering why you had that white on today. Now I know. Oh, God, would you please stand with me? Keep giving God praise. Come on, stand with me and keep praising the Lord. How many of y'all been holding out? Waiting on your change. Come on now. What a joy to know that the Lord has not forgotten and he will do what he is going to do. And that is up to his sovereignty, his choice, his will. It is just ours to hold and to wait. I like that. Hey, my change gonna come. Amen. And then he was rapping too. Did you hear the rap? Yeah, did a little freestyle. Freestyle is when you rap without a printed lyric. You just kind of make it up. Gotta understand we are. Amen. Luke chapter 9. I want you to find that. Luke chapter 9. We're going to thumb down, look at verses 1 through 6. As you find that, remember, we are finishing up our series on eternal lifestyle. We've been in this journey for a few months now, and Lord has blessed us to get a fresh perspective on what it means to live the life of a believer. So on today, we're going to tie a bow and finish this series just in time for the end of summer. I'm sorry, teachers, summer is ending. I know. It's about time to dust off those boxes and get those classrooms back decorated. I know, it's coming. Yeah, don't deny it, it's coming. All right, Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, those that have found it say, I've got it. We're going to read these verses. We're going to whisper a word of prayer. And then we're going to watch a young man's story about letting his light shine. Luke 9, verse 1. Summoning the 12, he gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. Then he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for the road, he told them. No staff, no traveling bag, no bread, no money. And don't take an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. If they do not welcome you when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and traveled from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing everywhere. I want to talk from the subject this morning, we must go. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we are so eternally grateful for this privilege to gather together collectively in worship. To share, Father, in the joy of being a part of your family. To share, Father, in just hanging out with our brothers and sisters in the faith. As well as those, Father, who are embarking upon a life of faith. So, Father, we're here right now in this holy place with thankful hearts. Lord, you've carried us through this week and we are grateful. Now, Father, even as we prepare to bring forth the word for today, we lift up Sister Carol at Parkland right now. And Father, we pray for the ministry of your Holy Spirit upon her body. We're asking for healing in the name of Jesus. We lift up Deacon John right now where he is. Pray for the ministry of your Holy Spirit upon him, Lord God, for his procedure that is forthcoming. And Father, we thank you for healing. We feel Sister Stephanie behind us now. You brought her back. We see a Deacon Noble on the front row. Lord, we know what you can do. So we're just asking that you do it on their behalf. Now, Father, allow us to be focused in on the word for today. Simple message, short message, succinct message. And allow us to walk out of here empowered and inspired, understanding full well that we must go. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
When I first became Christian, I started hanging out with my Christian friends, and everybody who wasn't Christian was like bad, you know? So I just didn't hang out with them. I didn't want anything to do with them. I was safe, kind of like in a bubble. Before I started playing basketball, I was unaware of the things that people do in the world. But when I started playing basketball, it was like guys were having sex, they were doing drugs, I mean, drinking alcohol. So I was just kind of exposed to how it really is in the world. When I was first exposed to those guys doing things like that, it was really uncomfortable because my friends before, we didn't do things of that sort. A lot of times in the locker room, I'll get made fun of because I was the outcast, I was the square. I'm not having sex, I'm not doing drugs, I'm not going to parties. So I was looked down upon a lot. This is how I viewed friendship before I read Matthew in the Bible, where it's talking about Jesus with the tax collectors. In that passage, I saw Jesus was friends with the tax collectors, so I decided that I could be friends with some people who just aren't like me. It was a little difficult for me creating new friends who were different from me because I knew it was real, like people that aren't Christian and don't act like us. But when it's in reality, it's like you don't want to hang out with those people naturally just because you don't want to become how they are. So I struggled a while. Like, I wouldn't talk to my teammates some days, and some days I would. Like, it was just tough, like a whole process. Well, my mindset wasn't exactly like they're sinners, I should stay away, but it just became more real to what the Bible was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I wanted another one.
When I first started hanging out with them, it was a little tough because I had to learn not to compromise my faith, but I also wanted to show them that I had compassion for them, that I really cared about them as people. I would try to serve them as much as I could, like clean up the locker room. Or, I mean, little stuff, like if they would be cussing, I would just be like, man, that's not the way to go. Or how they treat women, like, we shouldn't be doing that. I would just kind of tell them, but I wouldn't try to put them down, like saying, you're bad, you're a sinner. I would just say my point of view on it. One of my teammates, actually, I would tell him every day, like, you gotta stop, you gotta stop, you gotta stop. But he was like, he just didn't comply. Like, he wanted to do what he's gonna do. But one day he told me that he respected me because I'm not actually just saying it. He sees me living it, so I felt good at that moment. I felt like that was God telling me that I need to keep going. I felt like God putting me in an uncomfortable position was beneficial to me because I was able to impact those who weren't able to see Christ growing up, or they weren't able to see somebody living that life. So I think God has blessed me because he was able to allow me to be a light in those kids' eyes. Like, my teammates might have not changed, but at least they were able to see who Jesus is or what it is to be a Christian.
Praise God, praise God. That young man has tremendous faith. And there's so many takeaways. Let's pause real quick. Hey, AV, I think there's a microphone up there that's on. Because I hear y'all down here. Be careful what you say. There's a microphone on. I'm hearing y'all down here. But that young man, I believe his name is Dante. What I appreciate about him is he said he understood that it was his responsibility to go where his unsaved pre-Christian friends were. He had to build relationship with them. And the key thing he said is I had to be careful not to compromise my faith in hanging out with him. I couldn't compromise what the Lord has done with me spiritually, but it still didn't overlook or negate the fact that he needed to build community with people who didn't believe like he believed. And that's what this Eternal Lifestyle series has been about. It's about us building relationships with others, not being fake, but building relationships with them in hopes that in some way, somehow, what we have would rub off on them. And at some point, they begin to ask the questions about salvation. Here is our message moment at the top of your handout, your sermon note card. Everyone should have one. It says, Christ has instructed his disciples, which is us now, to go and to pave the way for the gospel. We must go. Turn all the lights back on, y'all. I think we still got some down. Amen. They coming? All right, they coming. Amen. Somebody say, we must go. Come on, say, we must go. There's a young salesman who was disappointed about losing a huge sale. I mean, he had worked months on landing this deal, and he did everything he could to persuade them to purchase his product. As he talked to his manager, and he began to lament, he says, well, I guess it just proves what they say. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. To which the manager responded, son, take my advice. Your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty. Your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty. And that's the essence of what evangelism is all about. Our lives should be so filled with Christ, so overflowing with the goodness of the Lord, that it creates a thirst, a hunger for others to have what we have, which takes us all the way back to our opening message somewhere in May. We begin to talk about eternal lifestyle. See, ultimately, we have to understand that it is our responsibility, child of God, to make the world want what we have. So in order for them to want what we have, it has to be attractive. It has to be delightful. And what frustrates me about us church folk, everybody look at me, is a lot of times the way we live our lives is just not attractive. I mean, we claim to have the joy of the Lord, but we don't ever smile. We claim to be saved from sin and hell and death, yet we don't have any joy and excitement about what the Lord has saved us to. I wake up every morning praising God that I'm saved, but I want it to be an external sign. I want folks to see that I'm excited about what God is doing in my life. Y'all, we can't make them thirsty if we don't have what they want, and we got to make them want what we have. So as we look back over this series, Eternal Lifestyle, we started out in Titus chapter 2. My God, Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lust and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age. That opened up this series because it's challenging us that we have to live in a way that although we have to go to work and go to school and live in community with the world, we don't have to necessarily look like the world. And again, I'm not trying to get you to be old fogey, old fashioned, played and all that. You can still keep your swag. You can wear your white linen suit and rap in church. That just came to me. But you do it in such a way where people can see the joy of the Lord on your life. And then we moved on to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. And we were there a couple of weeks because we needed to understand the value of being both salt and light to this community, to this world. Yo, we got to let our light shine. Why would the Lord give you the light of salvation? Allow his Holy Spirit to take up residence in your life, and all you do is cover it up. You don't talk to nobody about the Lord. As a matter of fact, people look at you, they don't know that you know the Lord. Let's do it again. Let's for just a moment, just indulge me. Turn to your neighbor and just smile at him. Come on. Come on, y'all. So, y'all don't do that. Look at that. Some of y'all don't know what to do with yourself. Oh, thank you. God bless you. Come on, y'all. Look at that. Some of y'all just giggling like Miss Seeley. Come on. Y'all think I'm tripping, but it's the truth. Joy. Somebody say joy. So if we're salt and light, listen, we ought to make people thirsty and want to know where God is leading them. So that was the second or third or fourth message. Then we moved to Acts chapter 4. We stayed there for a while as we dealt with holy boldness. Oh, man, being bold with our faith. And that's where Peter and John get arrested for the ministry they had done for that lame beggar at the gate called Beautiful. And we stayed there. We went through probably the whole chapter 4 because we understood at the conclusion of that how important it was to saturate things with prayer. Amen. Then we moved on around to Matthew chapter 9. That was last week, the call of Matthew. Matthew was sitting at his tax collector's booth, and Jesus came and said, "Follow me." And in that message, we understood the power of follow. The power of follow. And that's what all of us are called to do. We're called to follow. That's what it literally means to be a disciple, is that you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Luke chapter 9, our concluding message for this series, I wanted to make sure we understood one of the key things that took place with Jesus and his disciples. He had these men, he had identified them, he had called them to a life of fellowship, but then he began to deploy them. He began to send them out. He began to strategically give them opportunities, watch this, to live out their faith in a interactive manner with their community. See, you can't live out your faith up in here. And see, some of us believe that you can. Listen, if you witness to somebody in here, you're missing a wonderful opportunity of doing it out there. It's good to do it in here. When someone comes and you talk to your neighbor, all that's good and well. But the real test is what you do out there. So the context of our text, Jesus is preparing his disciples for community engagement. Somebody say community engagement. And I kept getting messed up with my scriptures because a key reference for Luke chapter 9 is Luke chapter 6. If you can work your scriptures, go back to Luke chapter 6, because in verses 12 through 16, we see how the Lord Jesus Christ determined who would be on his team. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 12, just flip back a couple. Or scroll back a couple. It says, during those days, verse 12 of Luke chapter 6, he went out to the mountain to pray and spent all night in prayer to God. When daylight came, he summoned his disciples. He chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and son called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. This is the calling of his disciples, 12 of them. And he did that with specific intentionality. Get ready to write. Jesus used prayerful selection, write that down, in choosing those to whom would be his disciples and ultimately his apostles. The text says he prayed all night. And then he began to identify those from the larger group who would be a part of his core ministry. Now, why is that important as we talk about these same disciples being deployed in Luke chapter 9? It is important, I want you to catch this, because prayer is the primer for effective ministry. I learned this word a little while ago. Somebody say primer. Come on, say primer. Anybody who's ever done any painting understands why primer is so important to the painting process. I got some shakers and yeah, you know what I'm talking about. See, if you just paint something over something, very likely the paint won't stick. the color will fade and whatever is behind it will come through. You use primer. Help me, Reverend Wilson. You use primer to number one, cover up what was there previously. But number two, to help the paint that you're about to apply to stick. And oftentimes a lot of us are painting stuff in our houses and we ain't thought twice about using primer. So after a day or a week or 2 or 3 weeks, all of a sudden that paint job don't look the same. But had you just taken some primer and gone the extra step, then your finished product would look good. What are you saying, Pastor Brown? I'm saying that prayer is the primer for evangelism. And what is happening to us as a church and as a faith community is we're trying to go without first spending some time talking to the Lord. As a matter of fact, any ministry that you do without prayer will not be effective. I don't care what it is. You can't usher without praying. You'll end up telling folk off. I need a witness up in here. You can't plug in microphones without praying. Because as soon as this start acting crazy, you start slamming stuff down and hollering and running out the front door. You can't sing without praying. Because if you ain't pray, you'll fill up with pride. And then the enemy will cause you to miss a note. I need a witness up in here. Prayer is the primer. It paves the way. It helps it to stick. That's why we're refocusing on our prayer, y'all. And Jesus is our example in Luke chapter 6. He didn't lay hands on these men. He didn't identify them by name until he spent some time in prayer. So before we go any further, whatever that we're doing for the kingdom of God, I challenge you to pray. Well, Pastor, I pray every day. I know that you pray every day. But we need to pray with intentionality. We got to get past the now I lay me down to sleep. And we need to press and spend a little time in prayer. I'm tarrying here because Jesus tarried. In Luke 6, it said he prayed all night. He was on that mountain just praying, talking to the Father, communing with the Lord. Y'all, we got to labor in our prayer. Because we got to have some breakthroughs, stay with me, in our faith community. The breakthroughs won't happen if we're not praying fervently. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pause in the middle of this message to cry out for your presence. Father, we know that you're with us because you're in us. By the power of your Holy Spirit. But Father, we're just coming together corporately to cry out to you, to solicit your hand, your will, your power in the midst of everything that we're doing here at GBBC. Father, we cannot be effective without intercession. We cannot be effective without crying out to you. So, Father, we don't have a problem stopping a sermon to talk to you. Father, we're lifting up our church. We're lifting up our vision. We're lifting up our leadership. We're lifting up our fellowship. We're lifting up all the ministries. And, Father, we're asking that you would help us all to do whatever it is you've called us to do, whatever giftings you've placed upon us, whatever calling you've placed inside of us, whatever thing you're telling us to do. Oh, Father, by faith, we're asking that it would be done. Oh, God, bless us. Break us, mold us, renew us in the name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Give God a hand of praise right there, right there. Round about now, I may bust out and pray at any moment. I don't care what's going on. So this prayerful selection helps us to understand that prayer is the primer for evangelism. Not exclusive to evangelism, but for the sake of our discussion this morning, prayer paves the way. It's the primer. And so as we even examine this sending narrative that we're dealing with in Luke chapter 9, We discover that in other places of the gospel, the Lord Jesus did the same thing, and I don't want those to get confused. Each of the gospel writers wrote a little excerpt about Jesus sending out his 12 disciples. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, he records how the Lord called them together to send them out. But if we aren't careful, we will miss that what the Lord Jesus is doing is he is preparing them with short missions trips to get them ready for greater evangelism. I need y'all to catch this. So he is sending them out on these short little missions endeavor so that he can get them prepared for a lifetime of evangelism. So these are a precursor to the Great Commission. You know the Great Commission, Matthew 28. That we ought to go into the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And also Acts chapter 1 and 8, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my what? My witnesses. So what's happening in Luke and the other gospel accounts, he is preparing a small band of his disciples to go. So the initial sending, he just sends his disciples. That's Luke chapter 9. But in Luke chapter 10, you can remember, you Bible readers, he sends out 72. Somebody say 72. And he sends those out two by two. He's trying to get them ready. He's trying to get us ready. And let me help you understand something right now. A call to follow is a call to go. Get that down. A call to follow is a call to go. If you're going to say, I'm a follower of Christ, you must understand that to follow Christ means to go. Look at what he says in another accounts when he's calling those disciples. Listen, follow me. That's what Jesus said. And I will make you fishers of men. What he is saying in that, in Luke chapter 5, I believe it is, he's saying, follow me, and I'm going to send you out. Follow me so that you can go. It is all a part of the process of being a disciple. There is no going if there ain't been no following. And if you're going to say, I'm a follower, then you better get to going. Y'all help me preach. Look at your neighbor. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, you better get to going. Thank you, Sister Medlock. God bless you for that. All right. I needed that right about now. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Again, let's read this. Summoning the 12, he gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. Then he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for the road, he told them. No staff, no traveling bag, no bread, no money, and don't take an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. If they do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and traveled from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing everywhere. A call to follow is a call to go. First of all, we see in this text, as we make some observations, we see what was given. Get that down. What was given. We see what was given. Pastor Mark, what did the Lord Jesus give them? He gave them power and authority. I like that. He gave them power and authority. Now, why is that important to what they're getting ready to do? Because he is calling them, watch this, to don't just go, but as you go, I want you to heal folk of their diseases. I want you to cast out demons. I want you to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. Y'all, you can't go into nobody's town talking like that if you ain't got no power and authority. They'll have you hung up before daybreak. Amen? So listen, he said, I'm going to give you power and authority. Power. power. Dynamis means the spiritual ability to get things done. He's pronouncing them. He is conferring upon them power, but also authority. Authority is the right, watch this, to exercise the power that you've been given. Oh, y'all know when to shout up in here. He has given them power, which is spiritual ability to do things that glorify him, and authority, which is the right to exercise that power. So it doesn't matter who they came against. They could have come against demons. They could have come against just general haters. But because they had power and authority, they could fulfill the mission. Church, let me tell you something. We got that same power and authority. I need a witness up in here. We got the same power and authority to do what the Lord has commissioned us to do. Stop being scared, y'all. You don't have to be scared. I know you may not feel like you got power, but power is something that you don't really know you got till you start using it. So you gotta start taking a step toward where God has called you in order for you to know that you got the power. Something happens when you start moving toward what God has called you to do. Watch this. If you ain't moving, you don't need no power. Oh, y'all, they ain't, let me try this side. If all you're doing is sitting and standing and watching, you don't need any power. But start moving and see what happens. Start showing up to stuff and see what happens. Start giving God an opportunity to use you as his mouthpiece and watch what happens. Somebody say power. Come on, say power. Power to make you talk right. Power to make you live right. Power to open up your mouth and let people know that Jesus saves. Let's wrap this up. 30 minutes. Let's wrap this up. So what was given? Power and authority. I like that. Secondly, what was forbidden? Now see, this is unusual. Don't take this isolated incident and say, this is the way we got to go witness. Amen, somebody. Because I'm going to bring an extra shirt. Amen. So this is a specific mission, not to be misinterpreted as every time we go out. He says, take nothing, verse 3, for the road. He told them, no staff, no traveling bag, no bread, no money. Oh, Lord. And don't even take an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. So in other words, say when you get to the town, don't start staying with Pastor Brown and his family and then go and stay with Danny White and his family, because Pastor Brown gonna think you don't think his house is good enough. So if you're gonna start with Pastor Brown, finish with Pastor Brown. Y'all know how we do. We find out somebody got a better house, a better sofa, hotter water, better food in the refrigerator. I catch up with you later, man. I'm going over here. But even greater with the Lord is pushing them is this. He is pushing them to demonstrate dependence upon God. I need y'all to catch that. Dependence upon God. If I'm leaving, I ain't got a sack. I ain't got no spare change. I ain't got a quarter to call if I need. I ain't got a bag, food. I ain't even got an extra shirt. Come on, Jesus, let me get an extra shirt. Dependence upon God. Dependence upon God. See, this helps me to understand, watch this, when we live the life of eternal lifestyle, watch this, you're not going to always have everything you think you need. You're not going to be so prepared like you think you ought to be. But watch this, at those moments of crisis, what the Lord is helping them to understand, the Lord will provide. I wish I had some shouting folk up in here. Have you ever taken a step of faith? You didn't have everything mapped out. You didn't have everything marked out. But as soon as you took a step, the Lord provided. As soon as you took a step, the Lord showed up. I love this by myself. So there's some forbidden things in the text, but we don't have to roll those over into 2018. The Lord Jesus was getting them to understand the value of dependence. What was given, what was forbidden. Then thirdly, what was expected? What was expected? I like this. Because with the Lord, there are always going to be some expectations. You ain't just going to be going. This ain't a social experiment. This is kingdom building business. Look at verse 5. He said, if they do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. See, understand, listen, the disciples were paving the way for the gospel. They were getting those towns and villages ready because Jesus would soon come through. And they would help Jesus to see, hey, listen, they don't want to hear it. And as a symbol against them, Lord Jesus said, and that's, listen, that's actually a Jewish tradition. When the Jews left a pagan or a Gentile town, in order to make sure they purged themselves and kept themselves pure, they would shake the dust off their feet as a symbol against that town. It may seem harsh, but let me tell you something. Here is what I understand it to be saying. There will be times, believer, when the world will reject you. And you can't take it personally. You can't take it to heart. Let me help you understand something. They're not rejecting you anyway. They're rejecting him. And see, this is why a lot of us don't share our faith. We just want to keep everything light and on the surface. We don't want to dig a little deep. People are perishing spiritually. But we don't want to say anything. We just want to, you know, keep it light. I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk God. Because I don't want to ruin our relationship. I don't want them to be mad at me. I don't want them to think I'm that kind of person. Kind of like the young man in the video. And y'all, how many people are perishing because we won't do what is expected? See, the expectations for these men, watch this, was to go and to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal, to preach, to deliver. So what if people didn't receive him? Jesus said, don't even worry about that. Stop worrying about what you have no control over in the first place. So verse 6 wraps it up, and we're finished. So they went out, traveled from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing everywhere. We understand what was given, what was forbidden, what was expected. So the text says, so they went where they were sent. The disciples went out and impacted villages through preaching and healing. Preaching and healing. They impacted those villages. And that's my final challenge for us as we wrap this series up, is that we would passionately, fervently impact this community. Y'all look at me. Y'all finish writing. Look at me. That we would impact this community. Well, Pastor Brian, I can't heal nobody. You don't know what you can do. So you're sitting and you're waiting. God's not going to release that kind of power until you start moving. You don't know what you can do. I'm a living witness of the healing power of the Lord. You got to know that God still moves. That power is still there. Don't get frightened. This is not charisma. This is gospel. I need a witness up in here. And so you got that same power to go out there and do something with it. To proclaim the gospel. It doesn't mean you're a pastor. To proclaim the gospel. We preached several years ago right here that I am a preacher. Every person that has received the gift of salvation has been challenged to be a proclaimer, a witness. You are a preacher whether you accept it or not. I need a witness up in here. So these disciples, they went. And there are other accounts in the gospel that talk about this first sending where the 12 went. They come back and they tell Jesus, Lord Jesus, it was crazy out there. We went into these towns, we were preaching, we were healing folk, we were setting people free. It was crazy. It was bananas. And Lord Jesus is like, yeah, I knew it would be. Because I gave you the power and the authority. See, y'all, we got to learn what real joy and what brings real joy. What brings real joy is to know that someone's eternal destiny has been transformed as a result of your work. You think about people's going to be in the kingdom because you were obedient. I'm done. Last part it says, I want you to write this down, y'all. It's our turn. I wish I could preach it like I feel it, but I got to give it like I got it. It's our turn, y'all. Right now, it is our turn. So we finished this series. Man, it's been several weeks, several months that we've dealt with this. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond. This is not the invitation. This is for members and believers. The Lord summoned the 12. And he said, listen, I'm getting ready to send y'all out. I want you to go and I want you to preach. I want you to share the gospel. I want you to heal. I want you to do all these things. I'm giving you the power and the authority. And in Acts 1:8, he has affirmed that that same power is with us now. I'm going to give you a chance right now. Say, you know, Pastor Brown, I got to be a better witness. Sometimes I may share, but most times I don't. And I'm convicted. As I dealt with this series, I was the most convicted. I've testified many times. I've insulated and isolated myself with too many Christians. So here's an opportunity for you to respond. A whole series, whole summer, we've been dealing with eternal lifestyle. I believe in public professions. So I'm already standing. Who's going to stand with me? Pastor Brown, you know I got to do better. I got to open my mouth. I got to be more bold. I got to make sure I'm prayed up. I got to make sure that I'm willing to be a vessel to spread the gospel. I can't say I'm going to let some evangelism team do it. I got to be willing to do it. And I'm not telling you to change your posting on Facebook. You ain't got to start posting a picture of Jesus every day on your Facebook. That ain't what I'm saying. That ain't nothing, no way. That's the least. I'm talking about on our campuses, on our jobs, in our communities. Since I've been in this series, I've been talking to my neighbors more than I ever have, finding out more about them. Hallelujah. Every time somebody comes to my house, I'm talking to them. Hot water heater went out this past week. But the man who came, he's a preacher, so that didn't count. Garage door opener broke several months ago. I'm talking to the garage door guy about his faith. And I'm like, Lord, you got to stop sending all these Christians to my house. Send me some unsaved folk. So I'm going to keep breaking stuff and calling repair people. The church, when the call is given for us to go, we need to look like this. We need to look like this, y'all. We need to stop thinking other folks are going to go. They won't. It's up to us. It's not just for the preachers or the leaders. It's for everybody. And I want you to know, all of y'all are leaders in your own right. While you yet stand, let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this series and this season in our church history. Father, we want to go in a manner that you've called us to go. So, Lord, I'm asking right now as we stand that you would give us courage, confidence in Christ. Not in ourselves, but in Christ. Father, going can be intimidating. So I'm praying, Father God, that as we take steps of obedience, that you give us power, you give us authority, you give us a willingness, a zeal, Father God. And Lord, very likely you're going to put somebody in our path before we go to bed tonight. And you're going to challenge us to tell them about you. So Father, I pray for the courage of that person under the sound of my voice. Father, help that believer to know if they know enough to be saved, they know enough to share. Help them let people know that we're sinners, we all fall short. But a loving God sent his one and only Son to pay a price of redemption for all of us. And as we put our faith in his finished work on the cross, we too will inherit eternal life. Something that's simple, Father, help us to share it. And help us as we share it more to become more bolder, more astute, more willing to be used. Father, we thank you for this moment. In Christ's name we pray. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Remain standing. Give God a hand of praise right there. Come on, come on, come on, come on.